Amen. That was a poem of one of Fanny Crosby's poems that Al Smith found. I think the book said 70, 75 years after she had passed away, he found that poem had never been put to music. And so Brother Al Smith put that to music. A very beautiful, beautiful song. I'm not sure if Brother Al Smith is still alive or not. We heard him down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, some years ago, and he was up in years then. But he has written some hymn history books. If you'd like to really appreciate the hymns, you need to get a hold of some of these books that tell the stories behind the hymns, really make you appreciate those songs. So, Fanny Crosby, blind, but I think Brother Ken used, did that say 8 or 9,000 hymns? She wrote 8 or 9,000. So, that's something. Well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. As he was singing that song, I was thinking, that is the purpose of our lives. That is our highest goal, is to exalt the Lord. And just, wow, what a tremendous song that is. So, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we have gathered here this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I do pray that our lives, the thrust, the summary, the total of our lives would exalt you. So, Lord, please lead us, guide us, teach us this morning how we might better accomplish that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, we're down to number 5. It's gentleness. We've looked at love, joy, peace, long suffering, and we're on the fifth fruit of the Spirit, which is gentleness. According to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, gentleness means softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, meekness, kindness, benevolence, tenderness, mild treatment. So that's all gentleness, softness of manners, mildness of temper, sweetness of disposition, meekness, kindness, benevolence, tenderness, mild treatment. When I read that sweetness of disposition, I thought of Brother Steve's devotion he gave last night to the young people about sweets. You'll have to ask him about that, okay? But gentleness. So a fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It's number 5. So if the Holy Spirit is filling us and using us, if we're allowing Him to use us, then one of the characteristics, one of the fruits of that will be gentleness. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, if someone were to ask us today, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if it was a charismatic, they would be thinking along the lines of, have you spoken in tongues? But what does it really mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the opposite of something that lists here in Galatians, or excuse me, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. And be not, what? Drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. So be not drunk with wine. If we are drunk with wine, if we are filled with wine, we are going to be under its what? Control. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are going to be under His control. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It simply is the opposite of liquor. Remember, God compares it to being the opposite of liquor. If someone is filled with liquor, they are under its control. We are not to be under the control of alcohol. We are to be under the control of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with Him. And notice the very first evidence of that is verse 19, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The next thing, giving what? thanks always for all things. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are controlled by Him, there's a song in our hearts, verse 19. There's a thankful spirit, verse 20, and on down through there it goes. But let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, gentleness. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, there will be that fruit of gentleness in our lives. At the gym on Friday nights, we play basketball and volleyball, and sometimes, well, it's amusing, and maybe it's not amusing, but sometimes people are very gentle when it comes to volleyball, and other people are very aggressive when it comes to volleyball. And so sometimes people see the ball coming, but they'll hear it behind them, and they'll go like this. They're waiting for it. They don't want to get clobbered in the meantime, so they're waiting for someone else to clobber the ball because they know someone is coming right behind them. So in life, the gentleness or aggressiveness sometimes. So, but one characteristic of the end times is a loss of gentleness. Notice in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We saw Wednesday night about a lot of times when people get mad, they want to throw something. Now, I hope you've never had a frying pan thrown at you or anything like that. And you guys, I hope you've never, I don't know, what do guys throw? Do they throw lamps? Or is that the world's wives that throw lamps at their husbands? I don't know. Sometimes the guys throw the wrenches out in the garage or the hammers or what have you. We looked at that Wednesday night. But in the end times, chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 says, "This know also that in the last days, what kind of time shall come? Perilous time shall come." Perilous, according to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, means dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. One of the Van Cleek boys works, they make computer chips, and he has to wear a whole one of these hazard suits and gloves and everything. The stuff that etches those computer chips is just highly toxic, and so he has all kinds of stories to tell about, like one light, I think I told you this, but a silo filled with Jell-O. Remember that one? Someone turned the wrong valve one night and mixed the two wrong chemicals. Well, instead of exploding, it just turned to Jell-O anyway. So they had a whole silo full of Jell-O to shovel out. So I guess that was better than, you know, a bomb going off down there. But so he has to wear his hazard suit. So perilous means dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. So it says in verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." The longer we live, the more hazardous the times are going to come. The more the end days approach, the more perilous, the more hazardous, the more dangerous things are going to become. Why? Verse 1. "For men shall be lovers of" who? Their own selves. Sometimes people question. I remember the earliest one I remember is someone wondered out loud if Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. And well, anyone who is married is not the Antichrist. He's going to love himself. He's not going to love women. He's only going to love himself. That's the Antichrist. So that's the spirit. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Hold your place here if you would. Let's turn to Mark chapter 13. Mark 13. What happens when people only love themselves? Mark 13. Mark chapter 13. Well, if men only love themselves, then if they need something that you have, they're going to steal it. That's what it's going to be like in the end times. But even further than that, just amongst families themselves, Mark 13, verse 12. Mark 13, 12. "Now the brother shall betray" who? "The brother to death." Yes, to death. "And the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to what? To be put to death. And ye shall be what? Hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So verse 12, the brother is going to betray the brother to death, the father the son. The children will rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. There's so much spying going on back and forth, and it's getting harder to detect because everything is getting so miniature. They're telling us in a lot of these battles now, there's these unmanned aircraft that are up there, and some of them getting so tiny that they can't even be spotted on radar. And I'm not just talking about stealth technology. I'm talking about things so small that radar can't detect them. So, and we never know how many ways we might be spied upon. I thought all these, they look like cameras on all these intersections. The first one I recall seeing in this area was out in the corner of 66 and 57. On each direction, it looked like there's cameras pointing. And well, they were putting those up downtown by the police station. And so one of the guys was putting all these things together. So I stopped and said, where do all these cameras go? And he said, well, these really aren't cameras. They just are detect, what do you call it? Sensor? Motion sensors. And so they're just pointing down. When there's a vehicle there, then it's sensing that, knowing, you know, how long to leave the light one way or the other, or whether to leave a long, you know, left turn light or so on. It's like that. Well, I thought, well, that's good to know. The only thing is, at any time, they could change the inside of those cameras, and we'd still think it's just motion detectors. But I was wondering, where do all these cameras go? I mean, how many people do they have hired to watch these cameras? And why are they watching them? Do they want to know where we are all the time? Well, they do have lots of cameras. I mean, there are real cameras out on the freeways. Sometimes the different companies around. In fact, on the internet, you can get on many of these cameras and watch. Right now, you can see what's going on over Grand Haven, out on the lake. Right now, up on Mackinac Bridge, you could look at some of those. I don't know if you can get on the ones in Grand Rapids that watch the freeway. I'm not sure. But toward the end times, people are going to be watching. We know all this will work for the Antichrist to control. We was just talking about buying and selling. Talk about control. The different incentives there are now to use a card instead of cash, offering cash back. And at the pump, someone just recently told me that if you go into Meijer gas station, sometimes they're giving special coupons to buy things because so many people are paying at the pump. And they're not going in and buying those healthy donuts and all that other stuff, you know, those giant soft drinks that they have inside. And so now, you know, so they work to install all these conveniences so you just get out of your car, use your card, pay at the pump, don't have to go inside. And their sales are going down inside. So now they want people to come inside. But so many of these things we know that will work together to control people in the end. But lovers of their own selves, betraying, verses 12 and 13, betraying one another, even in family. So that's why we read such a horrible story in the book of Judges at the end. And notice in Judges 21, I would say probably the end of Judges is probably my least favorite thing to read each time when I read through the Bible. It's just such a horrible incident that happens, and we're going to see why it happens. Judges 21. They were the opposite of gentle in these last few chapters. They leave a woman dying on the threshold of where her husband is staying. And why did it all happen? Judges 21, 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. His own eyes. So that's what we're seeing today, really. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. They don't want to listen to the Lord. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Once again, looking at these, or chapter 3, excuse me. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2. But in the end days, there will not be gentleness, that there will not be that fruit, or not much of it. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's the next thing? Covetous. I want it. Well, you shouldn't have it. Well, I want it. When people love themselves, they determine to take what they want. That's why, you know, there are so many things that we fail to appreciate about the biblical basis of our country. I know our country is far away from God, but we still enjoy many things that countries that do not have a biblical basis do not enjoy. Like the other night, I forgot and left a bicycle outside. Well, Brother Jeremy could tell you, if you did that in Mexico, it wouldn't be there the next morning. It'd be gone. And so the next morning I come out and I left that bicycle out there. And it was still there. The biblical basis of our country is thou shalt not steal. Even though they're trying to rip those Ten Commandments out of the courtrooms and out of the government halls and out of the schools, that basis is still there. Thou shalt not steal. I remember going with Brother Jeremy to banks and armed guards. I don't mean retired, aged guys, you know, standing off in a corner, maybe half dozing off, and probably they don't have any bullets in their gun, if they even have a gun. I'm talking about guards with shotguns in Mexico. And I don't know, was there even something like grocery stores or other types of stores? I mean, that'd be like Myers having not just a courtesy desk, but a guy standing there with a shotgun like this. I mean, that's the way it is in Mexico. Why? There's not that biblical basis, foundation for that country, but there was here. And even though we seem to be so far away from God, we still enjoy so many benefits from that biblical basis. And sadly, it's being eroded more and more. But so the last days are going to be perilous because men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers are not normally gentle people. We know that from yesterday. The park ministry. It was too wet to get out the sound equipment. But along the way, going north, suddenly I hear someone start to shout. And there's this girl. The car she's in is going north. She's on the passenger side. And she's sitting up, the window's down. She's sitting up in the window of the car, looking across the top of the car, yelling at our group with vile language. She wasn't gentle about it at all. And that's one of the traits of the end times, blasphemers. And so in this world, you know, none of us says, oh yeah, well you'll get yours someday. You know, that's not what we did back to her. We didn't yell back at her. I don't think anyone said anything to her. Actually, the scripture was saying plenty. It was hitting her right here. And she just had to retaliate. She was not gentle about it. So I don't think I've ever seen a blasphemer who was gentle about it. Have you ever seen someone blaspheme God or you because you're a Christian and do it gently? I don't think I've ever seen that before. So in that environment, we're called upon to be different. Notice in Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. I wonder how that girl felt last night. She laid her head down. I wonder if she thought of that, what she did. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, 24. Make no friendship with an what? Angry man. And with a what? Furious man, thou shalt what? Not go. Don't make friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, don't go with a furious man. Why? Verse 25. Lest thou learn what? His ways and get a snare to thy soul. So, back in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, don't make friendships with people like that. And we shouldn't act like that. We're called upon to be different in this world. It goes on in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Have you ever seen a disobedient child be gentle? Disobedient child be gentle. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I don't want to make my bed. Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. I don't feel like taking out the garbage. Do you ever see a disobedient child do it gently? No. A child gets mad, what they do? Stomp off to their bedroom, slam. They don't disobey gently. Why do I have to take out the garbage? I mean, they yell. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? We could ask the school teachers if some of their students disobey gently, or if they're rather animated about it. You ever seen someone disobey gently? No, they're not filled with the Spirit. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Let's go to, hold your place here with 2 Timothy 3. We'll be back here again, Lord willing. But let's go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. No, as children, when we disobey as children, we normally don't do it gently. We're not filled with the Spirit. We're filled with ourselves, the love of ourselves. Just like the days of Judges. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a who? A child is known by what? His doings. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Even a child. Well, what about those children? Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. We'll see here that they don't just disobey gently, tenderly. Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, 18. If a man have a what? Stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Can you get the picture? I mean, there's a war going on in the home. A war. Verse 19, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall what? Stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away from evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So there's no gentleness there. They have to lay hold on him. He is stubborn and rebellious. They have to lay hold upon him, bring him before the elders, and they stone him. It's that serious. And notice back in 2 Timothy 3, these perilous times. A time when, if we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to have that fruit of gentleness. It's going to be a stark contrast to what's going on all around. Stark contrast. What is there about this guy? It's what they saw in Jesus when he was hanging there on the cross. They saw something different, really different. 2 Timothy 3 and now verse 3, without natural affection. Is there any tenderness in that type of a lifestyle, sodomy? Do you see tenderness in their lives? No. They're the opposite of tenderness. Notice in Genesis 19. Have you ever noticed how sodomites act when you say that their lifestyle is sinful, that it's unnatural? Genesis 19. Some of these companies, it takes them a long time to get the idea that most people do not appreciate sodomy. The Ford Motor Company, for some time, was heavily promoting sodomy, and they were going behind. And finally, the Ford Motor Company said, okay, we will quit giving our money for the sodomite agenda. Well, funny thing. Guess which motor company is on the top right now? Ford. The other two are partially owned by the government at this point. Right now, the Home Depot has got it in their hearts to heavily promote sodomy. And they won't listen. And, well, they'll learn the hard way too, I guess. But sodomy is not a peaceful way to live. Notice in Genesis 19:4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of where? Sodom. Compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so what? Wickedly. Uh-oh. You're in trouble now. Verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Can you believe Lot said that? It just shows you how far down the tubes he's gone. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a what? Who are they talking about? Lot. What? Verse 7. He dares to say, do not so wickedly. Don't try to commit some sodomite acts with these men who have come to me. He calls it wickedness. And now verse 9, they're saying, well, this guy came in to sojourn. A sojourner is someone who's just there temporarily. We are sojourners on this earth. We're only here temporary. And so they say to him, verse 9, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Isn't that what we get thrown back at us all the time? We call anything sin, and what do they say? Judge not. Who are you to judge me? That's exactly what they threw back at Lot. And they said, now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to do what? Break the door. Are sodomites gentle? No, they're not. You call their sin sin, and they're ready to get you. So, same thing happened in Gibeah at the end of Judges. That's why that woman died. You know, back in Texas, when this battle started again, an officer was tipped off about sodomites. He went to the house and he wrote them up for sodomy, and that's what it went into the court system. And the sodomites said, hey, we ought to be able to do what we want in the privacy of our homes. Well, foolishly, the courts fell for that reasoning. Sodomy has never been content to stay in private. They're always pushing. They did in Gibeah, they did in Sodom. And that's exactly what's happening today. They are pushing, trying to make it against the law for us to say that their sin is sin. I shared with some last night, maybe I have with you before, but just in the last few weeks, there was a pastry shop in Indianapolis, Indiana, that was asked by some sodomites to do special rainbow cupcakes or cookies, something, I think it was cupcakes, for their sodomite coming out day. And the pastry shop said, no thanks. Well, the sodomites protested, and I think it said it had like 100 people or so outside of their shop protesting. And they, the pastry shop was renting a building from office or a store space from the city. And so the city was talking about canceling their lease, you know, because they're such bigots, you know, against these perfectly nice, gentle people, you know. So, but what's happened in Indianapolis? The pastry shop has had to hire an extra person because they are so busy now, because people are so thankful that they stood up against the sodomites that they're just, their business is thriving and they've had to hire more help. So praise God. It's worth it to stand up for what is right. But I tell you, the sodomite group has never been a gentle group. Never been a gentle group. 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, then another thing it mentions there is truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. These are the opposites of gentle. So the darker the days get, the more, if we are filled with the Spirit, gentleness, it's going to be in stark contrast to how people are around us. Incontinent means lacking self-restraint, not being under control. Have you ever seen a day in which people are out of control more than they are today? It's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. It goes on, verse 3, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That girl hanging out the window yesterday yelled at us, "That's why people don't like you." Oh, how many people like her, you know? I wonder if she's taken any polls. I wonder if there's any young men that are really interested in being married to that, you know? And I'm not so sure she knows who likes who. But out of control, that's what she was. Fierce, despiser of those that are good. Fierce, same dictionary, means violently hostile. Or aggressive in temperament, given to fighting or killing, marked by unrestrained zeal or vehemence, furiously active or determined, wild or menacing in appearance. I mean, just imagine a bystander looking. Here's these church folks. They're standing here with scripture signs. It's lightly raining. They're standing here with scripture signs. They're not saying a word. They're just smiling, talking. And here's this out of control young lady hanging out the window, screaming over the top of the car at us, using vile language and screaming at us. That's why people don't like us. Weird. Not us. Weird, strange, incontinent, despisers of those that are good. You know, have you noticed in the political scene, there's not just differences of opinions anymore. There is downright hatred. I mean, it's no longer. I can remember back when President Reagan was, I think. His second time when he was going for office. And I forget, you might remember who was going against him that time, but they were bringing up his age because he was getting old. And someone brought it up in a debate about his age, and he just, with a smile on his face, he just immediately come back with, "I'm not going to hold against you your youth and inexperience? And I mean, there just wasn't that hatred, but I mean, now it's like, it's not just differences of opinion, it's just pure hatred. And that's a sign of the end times, a sign of the end times. So it's going to come. And it goes on there in verse 4, traitors, heady. Heady means rash, hasty, violent, disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or deliberation, hurried on by will or passion, ungovernable. That's what we're getting. I mean, in America, we're on the verge of a revolt, a revolution. It's just one sign of the end times. People are heady. It goes on, high-minded. High-minded means to envelop with smoke, to inflate with self-conceit, be lifted up with pride, be proud. We see that in the sports realm. I mean, have you ever seen a humble sports player? I don't know of one. A humble sports player? It's just a sign of the end times. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God's. That's why some churches have an early morning Sunday service. One reason is because people want Sunday to play. I mean, they want to do their own thing. They don't want to set aside a day for God. They want to hurry up and get this God thing over with so I can get on with my weekends. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, verse 5, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such turn away. What power are they denying? It says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is it talking about? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They're denying the power of a changed life. That's why it's the group. It's the group that says it's all right to keep on with your rock music. Just put Christian words to it. It's all right to keep on drinking your liquor. It's all right. You don't have to change the way you dress. You don't have to change anything. God will take you just like you are. Well, that's not to be confused with self-reformation. Of course, we can't clean up ourselves and make ourselves fit for God, because Matthew 5:48, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We'll never be perfect on this earth. But what this group, look at these verses. Verse 1 says perilous times, and all these things in between end up in verse 5, having a form of godliness. Yes, people that are practicing all those things will still claim to be godly. Yes, there are sodomites who claim that they are Christians. There are sodomite preachers. Figure that one. Verse 5, they are claiming a form of godliness, but they are denying the power thereof. They say, well, I was born this way. No one is born that way. It's against nature. It's against the nature in which God has created us. It's against nature. It's this whole end times false church, the contemporary mindset. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power to live a different life, a changed life, and to continue to live that changed life. And then to face all this opposition and still be gentle. Gentle. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the fifth one. Gentleness. Boy, the flesh wants to retaliate, doesn't it? You know, if you would have had a dozen eggs yesterday, right at, if I was holding them there for you, right next to you, when that girl stuck her head out, suck her whole body out the car and start yelling at us. If I was right next to you Here, 2 dozen. Would you have been tempted to start throwing them? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In the flesh, we may want to retaliate sometimes. You know, people are rude to us at the door. We may be thinking inside, well, buddy, you're going to get yours someday. But, we've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Gentleness. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, pure Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, had no sin nature like we do, and he never once sinned. And like a sheep before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. He was gentle before his accusers. And Father, I pray that you would help us in this age, which is so vile. It's so easy in the flesh to want to lash back out. But I pray that we would remember a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If he is the one controlling us, is that fruit of gentleness. And I pray in this world, which is so prone on blaspheming your name and being angry and violent, I pray in this world we would stand out as different, because the Holy Spirit abides in us and is in control, and that fruit of gentleness is seen. And I pray that through it, people would be turned to you, that they would long to have lives of peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.